So the first reading is from Matthew 28, 16 to 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." The second passage is from Jonah 1, 1-16. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord held a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God, and they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship, and then lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish." And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots, that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and of what people are you?" And he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "What is this that you have done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us?" The sea grew more and more tempestuous. He said to them, "Pick me up and hurl me into the sea, then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to the dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they called out to the Lord, "O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased to you." So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows.
Father, thank you that the word of the Lord came to Jonah. And thank you that you now bring your word to us. We pray that you give us humble hearts so that, unlike Jonah, we would hear what you have to say and respond. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So in our first talk this morning, we're going to think about this question. How do we feel about God's salvation plan? In a moment, I hope to persuade you this is a really important question. But before we go any further, let's be clear what God's salvation plan is. For the purposes of this talk, I'm going to define God's salvation plan as I have done on the handout. If you've received a printed handout, let me apologize. We've updated it. And if you turn to page 3 on the English handout, I'm not sure which page it is on the Mandarin one, possibly page 4, then you should be able to follow the talk. What is God's salvation plan? Well, in the language of Noah, the language of Jonah, the book of Jonah, it's the good news that evil people from all nations who turn to God can be saved. How do we feel about this? I'm guessing that our immediate reaction as Christians is to say, well, I love that salvation plan. It's because of that salvation plan that I got saved. Why wouldn't I love it? But let's take a moment to push things a little bit further. We've said that God's salvation plan is the good news that evil people can be saved. How do you feel about that? Think of some of the most unpleasant people you know. Think about your worst enemy, someone who's done a lot of damage to you or the people you love. Or think about someone who's doing damage to other people, a cruel person, a selfish person. Or maybe even push it even further. Think about someone who's responsible for murdering other people. Or think of a serial paedophile, someone who's ruined the lives of children. How would you feel if they turned to God in true repentance, were saved, and got to spend eternity with God and with you in heaven? How do we feel about this plan for the salvation of evil people? Let's push it further still. We've said that this salvation plan is for people from all nations to be saved. How do we feel about that? We may have prejudices towards people of a certain nation or ethnic group, or we may just feel apathetic about other nations than ourselves. How do we feel about God's plan for the salvation of the nations? Some of us may feel anger. Your response may be similar to the title of our talk. Salvation for who? Many of us may feel apathy. Am I really bothered about such a plan? Some of us may feel that we really love, we adore this salvation plan and might have found that that adoration is moving us to action. It goes without saying that how we feel about God's salvation plan is a very important question. For if we hate the gospel for evil people of all nations, we're going to struggle to believe it. And even if we believed it, we're going to struggle to preach it, share it to other people. Last night, we listed the unbelievers we're in contact with at least once a month. If you weren't with us last night, or if for some reason you weren't able to do that, I really want to encourage you to take some time, perhaps in the break, just 2 or 3 minutes, just to write down a list of people, unbelievers in your life that you have some contact with once a month or more. And we're going to call these believers, for the purposes of these four talks, we're going to call these believers our mission field. When we thought about evil people just now, people who are doing us harm, harm to us, harm to others, we may have thought of some of them. And we're going to struggle to share God's salvation plan with them if it makes us angry or if we're apathetic about it. So how do we feel about God's salvation plan? Well, the book of Jonah has been written to help us with this very question. The two main characters in the book are Jonah and God. And we'll find that God commissions Jonah to go and proclaim his salvation. He tells him to go and tell evil people from a wicked nation to turn to God and to be saved. And we'll find that Jonah has very strong feelings about this. We'll see God teaching Jonah to change his perspective. And the author's hope is that as God does that for Jonah, it'll also change our perspective as readers, that we'll move from anger or apathy to adoration of God's plan and to action. In the words of the theme I've written on the front of the booklet, God wants to teach us to share his heart for the salvation of the world. If we're going to understand the book, it will help us to take some time thinking of the original readers, original purpose, the original readers of Jonah. We know that the prophet Jonah lived about 2,800 years ago, in the 8th century before Christ. We know this because we read about his ministry in the book of 2 Kings. And we'll say a little bit more about that in a minute. But that doesn't necessarily mean that the original readers of the book were only 8th century Jews. In fact, there's a lot that's written in the book of Jonah that borrows from other Bible books that come later in the Bible. So I think I agree with some of the commentators of the book who think that the book of Jonah is a true story, which has been rewritten later on for Jews at some point, probably after the exile and before the coming of Christ. What was Jonah written to achieve in these Jews? Well, it seems the big agenda of the book is to help these Jews realize that God's salvation plan isn't just for them, but it's for the whole world. As God's chosen people, the special objects of his choice, they may have made the mistake of thinking God was only interested in them. What's more, they probably had a sense of contempt for the Gentile sinners around them. They've been invaded by one empire after another, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Persians, the Greeks, the Romans. And such a series of invasions wouldn't have warmed their hearts towards Gentiles either. And furthermore, the Gentiles were idolaters. They didn't worship the true God. They worshipped their idols. And this would have led them to look down on them, thinking of them as Gentile sinners. But God wanted to use the book of Jonah to challenge these attitudes. God uses the book to share his salvation plan with his readers. That is the gospel that we've already defined, that evil people from all nations who turn to God and call out to him can be saved. In the book of Jonah, the prophet Jonah embodies the attitudes of these original readers. And so God wants to teach the original reader several things through Jonah. He wants to show them their meanness and their self-centeredness. He wants them to see that God's salvation plan includes salvation of all, including those Gentile sinners they despise. And he wants to also show them that the Gentiles they look down on are very willing to turn to God and be saved. To all of this, he wants them to share his heart for the salvation of the world. Finally, it's worth pointing out that the book of Jonah is a book of prophecy. We find it in the minor prophets. God was using the content of Jonah to show those original readers and us what his end time kingdom would look like. He wants to show them that it would look like evil people from all nations turning out to God and calling out on him so they could be saved. Someone might say, well, why do we need this? We know that God cares for Gentile sinners. We were all Gentile sinners before God saved us. Well, of course, the kingdom that the book of Jonah was pointing to is now here. God is saving people from all nations, no matter how wicked, who turn to God and call on him. As we study the book of Jonah together over the weekend, we'll see that there's lots of things that we have in common with Jonah, though, and his resistance to God's salvation plan. And we'll also see that there's lots of ways that God wants to use this book to change us so that we can share his heart too. We've considered the book of Jonah. Let's now think about the first chapter of Jonah. I've called our talk Salvation for Who? And the first chapter of Jonah will help us to see Jonah's alarm at the people God has decided to save. And it will also help us to think about our response to God's salvation plan. How does chapter one do this? Well, in common with the two underlined headings in page three, we're going to look first at the text and then we're going to consider the implications arising. As we see Jonah's response, it'll help us to think about how we should respond. Well, first of all, we see the Lord, let's get into the text. The Lord sends Jonah to Nineveh. If we read chapter 1, verses 1 to 2, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. Jonah is one of the prophetic books, and the book starts in quite a standard way, and the word of the Lord came. However, what follows is very unconventional. In fact, it's unique in the prophetic books. Normally, God sends his prophets to go to his own people and preach to them. But God calls Jonah to arise and go to a group of Gentiles, to Nineveh. Where was Nineveh? Well, Nineveh was a large city in the Assyrian Empire, east of Israel. It was later to go on and become the capital of the Assyrian Empire. But at the time of Jonah, it hadn't quite reached that status. The Assyrians had been enemies of Israel for many generations leading up to Jonah. And furthermore, immediately after the time of Jonah, they would invade Israel and take the whole nation off into exile. Why did God want Jonah to go to Nineveh? Well, he wanted him to call out against the Ninevites because their evil had come up before God. The evil of Nineveh was widely known to the people of the time. Another biblical prophet writing a little bit later than Jonah, I wrote of Nineveh as the bloody city, all full of lies and plunder. It was part of the Assyrian Empire, whose history has been described by one historian as gory and blood-curdling a history as we know. Friends, I'm going to share with you in a moment, and you'll see that the Assyrians were no teddy bears. And if you're a bit squeamish, you might not want to listen. They boasted of their cruelty to captured peoples following the siege of their town or city. And their victims weren't limited to the combatants. Records brag of live dismemberment, often leaving one hand attached so they could shake it before the person died. They made parades of heads, requiring friends and family of the deceased to carry them elevated on poles. They boasted of their practice of stretching live prisoners with ropes so they could be skinned alive. The human skins were then displayed on city walls and on poles. And they commissioned murals, wall carvings of their post-battle torches, where piles of heads and hands and feet and heads impaled on poles could be seen. You can see one of them in the British Museum, a mural of the Battle of Lachish. Nineveh sat at the heart of an empire that was thoroughly barbarous. And we read that the evil of this great city of Nineveh had come up before the Lord. What did the Lord do? Well, we can imagine any Jewish reader would have hoped to read of God's word of judgment on such an evil city. And indeed, you can read such a word of judgment in the book of Nahum. But in chapter 1, verse 2, we read that God actually wanted Jonah to call out against Nineveh. Why did he want Jonah to do that? Well, as we read on in the book, we'll find that Jonah knew that God's plan was that Nineveh would repent and be saved. This would have been completely shocking to the original reader. Salvation for who? The Assyrian Ninevites? The closest equivalent I can think of is the Nazis, who burned alive 6 million Jews in less than 6 years, or ISIS and their sex slavery and systematic rape. Indeed, it was completely shocking to Jonah, as we read from his response in verse 3. But Jonah rose and to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down to it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. We can see that using the repeated words tool, we can see the emphasis is where Jonah was headed. He went down to Tarshish. God told him to go up, but he went down to Tarshish. Where was Tarshish? Well, it's a city on the Mediterranean. We don't know exactly where. Scholars think possibly Spain. My PowerPoint had a picture giving us some idea, but basically God was telling Jonah to go to Nineveh, which was in that direction, but Jonah ended up going west to Spain, to Tarshish. The author is showing us Jonah's complete disobedience to God's call to him. He was supposed to go east, but he went west. He was supposed to get up, but he went down and down and down. He obviously detested the idea of going to Nineveh, but why? Well, we see later on in the book that this wasn't because he was afraid of rejection in Nineveh. In fact, quite the opposite. He was afraid that the Ninevites would accept his message, turn from their evil, and be spared from God's judgment. The one other appearance of Jonah we have in the Bible is in 2 Kings chapter 14. And there we read that he proclaimed a message that was great for Israel, that their borders would be extended and they'd be victorious. That was probably the kind of message that Jonah would have loved to have preached. A message where where Israel prospered and its enemies suffered. But now he was being asked to call out to Israel's enemies so that they would be spared destruction. There's absolutely no way he was willing to do that. So where God tells him to arise, he goes down, and where God tells him to go east, he goes west. It was complete disobedience. How will God respond to Jonah? Well, we'll consider that question in a moment. But first, let's split into our groups and consider the breakout discussion question, which is at the bottom of your handout on this page. Why does Jonah flee to Tarshish? Can we sympathize with him? Thanks, E.